Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, great to hear my old friend Joe Lundberg with the forecast. What a great job he always has done. I've known Joe for 30 years. Great to hear Joe Lundberg with the forecast. It's a tricky one, too, coming up this weekend, as you can hear. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ooh, some great holiday sales with an awesome staff to deal with, great product lines, and a service department that is indeed second to none. And, of course, we're brought to you on this Friday by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, you need to stock up. You know, stock up now because the weather's going to be a little dicey on Sunday. Stock up now. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere, including some great specials between now through Tuesday. Jenny 30 packs, $11.95. Seagram's 24 pack bottles, $21.98. Corona 12 pack bottles, $13.95. Blue Moon 12 pack bottles, $14.95. Labatt 24 pack 16 ounce cans, $15.95. They also have wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And even though garlic is the choice of Buhner, I can tell you that the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, I don't care whether it's now, a holiday weekend, it's always, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. One of the true upsets of the season. Stephen F. Austin goes to Cameron Indoor and beats Duke.
Pulls up, 15-foot jumper. Off the rim, no good. Rebounded backside, loose. Picked up by Duke. They can hold for the final shot. 14 seconds left. Jones again between the circles. They'll start him again down the right side. Bounce it down low. Knocked away by Ware. It's loose. Gavin Kinsmill comes up with it. Here's Bain on the other end. Bain on the breakaway. Bain on the dunk at the buzzer. Lumberjacks win. The Jacks have just beaten Duke at the buzzer. 85-83. SFA has knocked off the number one team in the country.
How about that for pure joy at the end? What a great, great win for Stephen F. Austin. They went to Cameron Indoor and beat Duke. Penn State will take on Rutgers tomorrow at Beaver Stadium on Senior Day. 16 Nittany Lion football seniors will go through the tunnel for the final time in their respective careers. You cannot put a price on what they've done in their time of some in 4 years like Cam Brown, others in 5 years like a Steven Gonzalez or a Garrett Taylor, what they've meant to the program. All of them came to this program. All of them came to the program before Penn State won that Big Ten championship. Been incredible what they've done. They took a leap of faith to make the program better and get the program on track. They did it. Now, of course, one guy that's not going to be there is going to be Justin Shorter. We bring in Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, about Justin Shorter and your thoughts on that situation and how it's played out.
You know, so James Franklin doesn't necessarily address specifics. Right when they're happy, like he doesn't go into the soap opera stuff on individual circumstances, but throughout his press conference yesterday and throughout the season, I mean, he's been talking about this for a good 2 years now about the transfer portal, and when he talks about Steven Gonzalez and he talks about Nick Bowers, kind of fighting through some adversity in their careers, right? Whether it's injury or otherwise, not understanding what your place is on the team, not feeling like you're being as productive as you want to be. When James Franklin talks about those things with other players, he's also talking about a guy like Justin Shorter, right? There's a subtext to those comments. And so,
sure.
You know, when Justin Shorter, you know, when that comes through at the end of the press conference, and James is obviously asked about it, you know, James didn't go into specifics, but that's the situation, right? Like, Justin had an injury last year that prevented him from doing what he wanted to do, the impact that he thought he was going to make as a true freshman. And then this offseason, you know, we had an opportunity to talk to him, and the word he used, I honestly just can't forget it, was dominate. He was like, I'm going to dominate the Big Ten, going to be the rookie of the year in the Big Ten, you know, freshman of the year, whatever. Those were the expectations that he had set for himself, and he was completely confident that those things would happen. And so, you know, now in the 12th game of the regular season, obviously that did not happen. 12 catches, right? 100 and change in yards, no touchdowns, like had to miss a couple more games due to injury, and just was never the big piece of the puzzle for the offense that I think that he thought he was going to be, you know, really accented a couple of weeks ago when Dan Chisena took over that starting spot. You know, right. So I mean, it's just none of this should come as a surprise. But I think for Penn State fans, it should come as a disappointment that, you know, that he wasn't able to and his family and, you know, what have you, the people that end up making these decisions, that they didn't have the confidence or the trust or the belief, you know, that by pushing through this challenging time, that they would come out better for it on the other side.
Okay, this team right now is 9-2, and they have an opportunity to be 10-2. If you go back to June and July, there are some people who thought, not everybody, but there's some people who thought maybe this was an 8-4 football team.
Sure.
What have we watched over the last 3 months, Nate? And in reality, what should that 10 ranking with two losses tell you about what other people perceive Penn State football to be?
It's so funny you asked this, because I've been waiting to make this joke. It was almost like last night was the first time that the CFP committee was corrected by a fan base who believes that its team is worse than the ranking that it got.
Like, yeah.
It, you know what I mean? Like, it's just stunning to me that fans' perception of this team are just so out of touch or out of whack with how everybody else sees them, right? I mean, I totally understand after, you know, in this, the fourth year of four pretty consistent, pretty good years, to be so close yet so far away, I understand the frustration that comes with that. I understand why people, you know, are disappointed by, especially now, that loss at Minnesota. Penn State would probably be at 4 or 5 right now with one loss had they only lost at Ohio State. So I get that. I get that feeling. But the wins that they're not given credit for within their own fan base, it just defies reason. Pitt at home is a pretty good win. Iowa,
yes, it
on
is.
The road. Iowa on the road is a great win. That's an excellent win. That is a top 15, top 20 win, made exponentially more difficult by the fact that it's on the road. Michigan at home. Michigan's rolling. And I understand, you know, when Michigan got rolled up on by Wisconsin, everybody just decided, oh, they stink. They're terrible. And you know, forget Michigan being any good. Well, that loss did not change the construct or the composition of that Michigan team. They're still the team that everybody anticipated being very good before the start of the season. They still have all of those pieces. And so Penn State beat them at home. You know, like, that's a quality win. Even out at Michigan State, that's a quality win. You know,
it's, yes, just, it is.
There's an element of taking for granted the reality that, again, like for what it's worth, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, those three in particular, are in a different stratosphere from everybody else. Okay, and you can fight for that, and you can want to be that, and you can aspire to be that, but it doesn't change the fact that being somewhere in that group, that cluster of 4 to 10, that's still pretty darn good. Like that is still a pretty good accomplishment. Wow. And for Penn State to have done it with the consistency that they have over the last 4 years is much better than people are realizing or giving them credit for.
Well, it's remarkable, actually. I'll two quick points. Number one, of course, we've talked about the 40 wins in 4 years, but I mean, break it down. The 40 wins in 4 years includes two over Michigan, two over Michigan State, four over Iowa, three over Pitt, one over Washington, one over Ohio State. That's 15 of the 40 wins. That's 40% of them against competition of that caliber. Two over Wisconsin. People forget about the two over Wisconsin as well. I think the bigger point I looked at last night was two parts. Number one, the 10 stuck out to me. That told me about the instant respect for Penn State's quality of win and quality of schedule. But also the fact that they thought so highly of Penn State that they moved Ohio State to win over LSU.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean,
right. And remember, LSU won at Alabama. Ohio State won at home against Penn State, and they jumped LSU because of the quality they thought of Penn State.
Yep, and let's be honest here, Steve. That was a damaged Penn State team that played in Columbus on Saturday. Yep. Cliff was not right. Hamler was not right. And those two in particular. I mean, if I'm looking back at that game, everybody. The perception was almost that Penn State got rolled in the first half. They're down 14-0. It was far from being bad. And in fact, the defense had what I would describe as maybe their best performance of the year out there, particularly against that group, that Ohio State group. And so the difference in that game ultimately for me is that Justin Fields made some big-time plays.
Yes.
big time throws, and more important, big time runs, particularly on third and long.
Mm-hmm.
And then, additionally, his receivers bailed him out a couple of times. There were four of maybe some of the best catches that I've seen this year against Penn State. And so, whereas Fields was able to make those plays with his legs, and his receivers were able to make those receptions, Cliff was not able to make those same runs when he needed them. And his receivers weren't able to make those same receptions, you know, and that's the difference. That's to me, what's separating Penn State from Ohio State, which ultimately, it's not that much. It's not the chasm that people want to think that it is.
Well, I always find it interesting that every time Penn State beats a team, I always find it interesting when I hear somebody say, Iowa stinks. Okay, I always love that. No, they don't. It's a really good win by Penn State.
I'm continually amazed by the 6 years ago, if anybody had fathomed, right? Like, this four-year stretch is historically significant at Penn State. There aren't many four-year stretch. That includes.
I'll give you what the historical significance of it is. I think this is the sixth time ever Penn State's had 4 years or 40 wins or better. If Penn State were to win on Saturday, it would be obviously win number 41. That would mean they were only one of three eras in 133 seasons in which Penn State's won 41 games or better. I think helps put into perspective what we're watching, and considering that James Franklin took over maybe something that was two levels above an expansion team because of the imposed sanctions, this has been a remarkable, remarkable turnaround in a short period of time.
A remarkable turnaround, and what it does, he laid out the blueprint yesterday at his press conference, maybe in the most direct way that I've seen.
Yes.
In that it's not, you want to win a national championship. Yes, you want to get to the playoffs. Those things are obviously extremely important. But the goal for a program like Penn State is to get to the point where you have these games in the first place that matter in November. That, right. You know, most programs don't have that level of consistency. They don't have games in mid to late November that basically make or break either a Big Ten championship berth or a spot in the playoffs. Penn State is having those now outside of last year on a yearly basis. And to me, that's all that this is about, because there will be years where that swings your way, right? Mm-hmm. There will be years where you get the bounce, you make the catch, you do what needs to be done, and you get in, and then you get that shot. But other than those three teams that I keep talking about, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, it's very rare to reach that air, right? It's very rare to be able to set your program up to do what those three programs are doing right now. But Penn State is pretty darn close, and this is the methodology, this is the route that it will take to get there.
Well, again, look, I want to go to attitude of team, because Penn State did not go to Columbus hoping to win the game. I was on a plane with a team that was expecting to go in there to win the game. That tells you everything about what they think about who they are. Those players expected to win that game. They are massively disappointed they didn't win the game, because they didn't go in there, gee, I hope we can hang in there. Okay, that was not the attitude in the plane, and they're mad they lost.
Yeah, and this is the time where I wish, that James had a little more Bill O'Brien in him, in the sense that 19-point spread was ridiculous. Like that 19 points. Yes, Ohio State had been running through teams, but Penn State was not awful, right? Like, this was a Penn State team that lost to an unbeaten Minnesota team by 6 points or 5 points, and had gotten through every other test. So to go into that game as a 19-point dog was, borderline disrespectful. And I understand, the odds makers don't care about respect. That's not what that is. But for so many people to have that mindset that this was going to be a 3-touchdown win for Ohio State, to me, just suggested that nobody was really paying attention to what these teams really were.
I just want to ask one final question about the seniors. Whether they're a fourth-year player like Cam Brown or fifth-year guys like Steven Gonzalez and Garrett Taylor, all of the seniors that go through the tunnel for the final time on Saturday all entered the program before the 2016 Big Ten Championship, which meant all of them took a leap of faith that they could come into this program and make a difference and bring it back. What does that tell you about them as young men, but also what they've accomplished in their 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of a duality to it, right? Because yes, they took that leap that Penn State would be able to get itself right and get itself back to where it needed to be. But conversely, these were also the guys that Penn State identified. Right, like these are the guys that Penn State picked out and said, "You're the guys that we believe in that can bridge this gap, that can do enough to get us to where we need to be." I mean, I just see, a lot of the recruiting rankings and stuff. Like when James came in, they finished with a pretty good class. Like they did what needed to be done with that class, and I think they finished in the 20s, maybe the high teens, and that's what we're talking about right now, right? Like the class of 2015 or the class of 2016, but they they had the grit and the determination and the wherewithal, all of those qualities that go beyond just X's and O's, right? Like, they brought that to the table. They helped as scout team guys for that 2016 team and 17 team to do what they needed to do. You know, and ultimately they blossomed into a group that really had a high impact. I mean, it's just kind of crazy to me how few of them there are. Right? Like, I mean, I think it's 16, but I mean, we're talking about 10 scholarship roster guys. And of those 10, only a few of them, or I should say a few of them were added as scholarship guys just this past year, you know? Right. So, it's just, it's a small group, of kids that committed at a time when they didn't necessarily have to, but that choice has paid off, I think, not only for Penn State, but for them as players as well.
Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. Great to have you with us today. Those seniors, all of them showed up before the 2016 season. They are a huge reason for the enjoyment you've had in the big games you've had a privilege to watch Penn State play over the last 4 years. Those seniors will be saluted tomorrow before the game. Texas won big today. Virginia closed big against Virginia Tech, snapped a 15-year losing streak to Virginia Tech. Washington State leads Washington 7-0 in the Apple Cup game. Memphis is beating Cincinnati. Boise State just took the lead on Colorado State. We'll come back with more in a moment, including the King with our picks. Is the King still the King? On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Touchdown, Penn State! 58 yards, and the Nittany Lions are on the board again.
Penn State football is sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, Shade Mountain Winery, W&L Subaru, Turbotville National Bank, Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck. It's Senior Day Saturday in Beaver Stadium as the Nittany Lions take on Rutgers. Kickoff is set for 3:30. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Jenny 1195, Jenny 1195, Jenny 1195, Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Jenny 1195, Jenny 1195. Now that's what I'm talking about. Brewers Outlet has Genesee, Jenny Light and Ice 30-pack cans for just $11.95. Get it? We got it. Pickles, ice, cigars, lottery, and all your beverage and party needs are a one-stop shop at The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And they have great specials now through Tuesday. And with the weather the way it's going to be on Sunday, maybe into Monday, you want to get there right now and stock up and also get gift cards. Brewers Outlet specials through Tuesday include Jenny 30-packs, $11.95. Seagram's 24-pack bottles, $21.98. Corona 12-pack bottles, $13.95. Blue Moon 12-pack bottles, $14.95. Labatt 24-pack 16-ounce cans, $15.95. wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show from Brooklyn. We're back on at 6:30 this evening. 7 o'clock will be the tip-off tonight with the Nittany Lions take on Syracuse at the Barclays Center this evening. And then tomorrow, Penn State football at Beaver Stadium at 3:30 with a 2 o'clock airtime as the Nittany Lions take on Rutgers. Quickly up to date for you on the scores. Jacob Eason just scored on a quarterback sneak. Washington State and Washington tied at 7. Memphis second quarter leads Cincinnati 17-10. Earlier, Virginia snapped a 15-year losing streak to Virginia Tech, winning 39-30. They win the division and take on Clemson for the ACC championship. Arkansas is now leading 14-10 over Missouri, and Boise State and Colorado State are tied at 14 in the second quarter. And now, Sean, I will allow you to bring in our next esteemed guest.
Our Friday afternoon tradition, unlike any other. Here he is, the former Enfield, Connecticut football star, number one in our hearts, Steve, your beloved brother, Kevin Jones.
My gosh, it's good to be here. How's it going?
What? That didn't sound very enthusiastic. Does that have to do with recent doings on the record?
Hey, I got a question to ask you. The backup quarterback for Penn State, I forgot his name.
Will Levis.
Yeah. He's a redshirt freshman from Madison, Connecticut.
Yes.
Did he go to Hand High School?
I think he did. You know what? I think he ended up going to Xavier. He went to Xavier High School.
Oh, okay. So I didn't see him. All right. So he went to a Catholic school. All right. Because I saw a Hand play in the state championship game, not last year, the year before. And they were really good. They beat Windsor by like 40 to nothing, I think. It's a great championship game.
It's funny how you get to these championship games. A lot of them are blowouts. I mean, yeah, all these teams have success, and then they get to this point, they suddenly one team goes, we can't compete.
Well, in Connecticut, the other schools have always been much, much better than the northern schools. So the championship games is always the north against the south, and the New Haven area that just pounds anything up north here, except maybe once in a while Bloomfield. You know, what's his name went to Bloomfield High School? For the Colts, speaking with an F.
Dwight Freeney.
Forever. What?
Yeah. Dwight Freeney.
Yeah, he went to Bloomfield High.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, what's up?
Just sitting here in Brooklyn, and as soon as the show's over, I'm walking down to the Barclays Center, and then when that's over, I'm driving back to Pennsylvania tonight.
What's the Barclays Center like? Is it nice?
Oh, it's really nice. No, they thought of everything when they put it in there. I give them a lot of credit as to how they built it. I think they built it smart.
I don't picture anything in Brooklyn like that. I don't know why.
Well, you know the irony, and I didn't tell the story on the broadcast the other night, but Levis did go to Xavier High School. I had that right. The site of the Barclays Center, of course, everyone knows the Brooklyn Dodgers played at Ebbets Field, and then they moved to Los Angeles, which, of course, has always been a major bone of contention here.
Yep.
Well, the O'Malley's for years tried to get a new ballpark built here in Brooklyn, and the Brooklyn Borough Council refused to do it. They even had a site picked out for the ballpark. And you know what the site of the ballpark was that the O'Malley's picked out? The exact spot where the Barclays Center is right now.
Wow. So. That's pretty cool. Wow. Do you think it will be a winning city with the Nets?
Well, you know what? It's interesting because Kyrie Irving's not playing right now. He's hurt, and Kevin Durant won't play this season.
Well,
I think the two of them together will play well together. The problem with Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving
is developing a reputation, deserved or not, that some people feel he can be a locker room cancer. And that's a reputation you don't want to have, especially if you're trying to build some sort of winning culture. Now, the Nets didn't win today. He didn't play, but they beat the Celtics 112-107. It's been an active day at the Barclays Center. but I will say this. They have spent money to get those two players. And if you are a New York Knicks fan watching them go through another aggravating season and you see somebody else in the next borough – about 5 miles away from your arena doing what they did in the offseason, you have to be infuriated.
Yeah, but what I really meant by my question is, do you see the area supporting a team?
Yes.
Whether they're good or not.
No, they sell out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sell out. Well, you know, the problem franchise there is the New York Islanders. The New York Islanders have not been embraced in this building. And the Islanders are in the process now of building a new arena out by Belmont Park, which would put them back on Long Island, which also puts them back actually where their fan base is.
Hmm. Cool. So, have you gotten over the Ohio State game?
Went right back to work and worked on the Rutgers game. And plus, I had to work on the games here, too.
I thought
that game's a 21-17 game in the fourth quarter. I think two things happened that should tell everybody something. Number one, Penn State ended up falling only two spots to 10 in the college football playoff rankings. That tells you how highly regarded Penn State is in terms of strength of schedule and also strength of victory. And that should tell you a lot. They've got a lot of the metrics working in their favor. Number two, it should tell you a ton about what they think of Penn State, because a victory by Ohio State over Penn State vaulted Ohio State past LSU, which won at Alabama. So that, I think, tells you a lot about actually not just what they think of Ohio State, but also what they think of a victory over Penn State was worth.
I think Penn State's win over Michigan was bigger than anything else. They weren't going to win that Ohio State game. If the quarterback didn't get hurt, they had a shot. But they became very one-dimensional with the backup. The defense was incredibly good.
Well, I mean, they've closed with the backup. They closed it to 21-17, and a penalty hurt them.
They ended up for three on that series.
People forget, I think, that now it's a 28-17 game. He's driving them downfield to the 20-yard line, and Penn State's in a position where they got Ohio State a little bit on their heels defensively at this point. And if Penn State were to have scored a touchdown, they probably would have gone for two to attempt to make it a three-point game. And then he threw that costly interception over the middle of the 20-yard line. And that was kind of like the point at that point where you felt like the wall was hit.
Yeah, but they played very well. They didn't have to hang their heads. They didn't quit, and they came back. And that was a good, very good football game. But I thought Ohio State would be a little bit more explosive. I hadn't seen them play all year. They're pretty much one-dimensional with the quarterback.
The two touchdown throws he threw, I will say this, those were NFL-level throws. What made him a determining factor in the game was the fact that he was able to run with the ball as well as he did. Now, everybody knew he could run it coming in. Everybody knew that. But I thought he improvised well when he had to. And I thought that when they had the design quarterback draws, he ran that well. It was his legs that kept Penn State a bit off balance, and he saved some drives for Ohio State with his legs, where he converted a third down when they needed it, when they converted a fourth down when they needed it, because of his legs and not his arm.
Right. Well, I don't know if that translates into a national championship being that one-dimensional.
Well, I'll tell you, he's got a great arm.
That guy's a monster.
He's got a great arm. What's really helped him is he's had, for the most part, a lot of time. Now, Penn State got him out of time last week. The Yetur Gross-Matos had 2.5 sacks. And, I mean, they got to him last week. They made him move.
Do
Now that's going to be yesterday's news. You got to move on to the next one.
Yep. Okay, we better do our picks, or we're going to be out.
Yeah, plenty of time. We got 10 minutes to go. We're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're good. I'm just delaying the inevitable.
What do you think they're going to get? I hope they
A lot depends on what happens starting tomorrow. Number one, of course, Penn State has to do its part. They have to win. Okay, that's one. Number two, I think that if Ohio State were to beat Michigan, that would help Penn State, which then brings us to number three. And this will be, I think, the big one in the end, but that is, can Wisconsin win at Minnesota? And if that were to happen, then it sets up Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State would be the prohibitive favorite against Wisconsin. If those four items happen, I think the door is actually open to Penn State to go into the Rose Bowl.
Oh, cool.
If certain other things happen, then Penn State might be an Orange Bowl team. And then another possibility, obviously, is the Outback Bowl. So I think those are the three I'm looking at as possibilities for Penn State, and we'll see how it plays out starting tomorrow at noon.
I would love Penn State, Notre Dame. I think that would be a great football game.
They would not get that matchup anywhere. There's no matchup that puts them in that spot, I don't think. Because I would think that the loser of Clemson, Virginia goes to the Orange Bowl. I would think the winner of Utah, Oregon goes to the Rose Bowl. And I would think that somebody in the Outback Bowl means an SEC opponent. So I don't see how that could play out in the current scenario.
Okay. Oh, well, wishful thinking on my part.
You never know. It could happen at some point, because at some point you're going to be in an ACC bowl, and that's what Notre Dame goes to, is an ACC bowl.
Yep. Okay.
All right, let's pick.
Let's do that. All right, King on fire last week, 7-0. We knew it'd be one way or the other. Kevin was way up there. I was way down there with 3-4. Steve, you were 5-2, so we have a one-game lead for Kevin, sitting at 60-34 as he retakes the lead. Steve's at 59-35, and I am at 54-40 as we head into week 15 of our picks. And we will start, yes, Steve, you just mentioned, we'll see how it plays out tomorrow starting at noon. And, of course, that'll be the matchup, the game, Ohio State and Michigan in Ann Arbor this year. And we will let the leader of the picks pick first.
The only games I've really seen this year are Penn State, and the best team I saw them play all year, albeit it was in the second half, was Michigan. I think Michigan will beat Ohio State. I got Michigan.
I will take Ohio State.
I think Ohio State will win. I think they're better all around than Michigan is.
All right, we will stay in the Big Ten, and you got ESPN College Game Day, first time ever in Minnesota. P.J. Fleck got his wish, although a couple weeks later than he had first wanted. But winner of this will go to the Big Ten Championship game coming up next weekend in Minneapolis, representing the West Division. Wisconsin at Minnesota.
I got Minnesota. I think Wisconsin's been off their game for about 3 or 4 weeks now. I think Minnesota is a very good team.
Going to be tight. I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
I think Wisconsin the last 3 weeks has really started to play well. And I think after stubbing their toe and not looking good against Ohio State, I think they've bounced back pretty well. The weather could play a factor in the game because of the snow and the wind, which means the running game becomes paramount. I know Minnesota did win last year. They beat Wisconsin last year, but I think this time Wisconsin will win.
And on to the Iron Bowl, Alabama at Auburn.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Alabama. Yeah. All three across. All right.
Yeah.
Bedlam.
All I did here was put all the ranked teams against each other, all the top 25 teams playing each other. So I wouldn't have put them down.
That's amazing. We, without hesitation, we all take Alabama, despite they have a backup quarterback.
Life is tough in Alabama.
Right. All right, on to Bedlam. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State.
I got Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, but to their credit, they'll give up a billion points but score a billion seven.
I also have the Sooners. All right, on to the NFL for Sunday. 100.9 The Valley, the rematch. 1 p.m. at Heinz Field between the Browns and the Steelers.
I think the Steelers got home field on their side, and that's about it. I want Pittsburgh to win badly, but I think Cleveland's going to beat them again. Cleveland.
I think the Steelers have home field. Unfortunately for them, on that home field is Devlin Hodges. Cleveland wins.
You know, guys, we cannot take Cleveland. We will go with the Steelers on this, but boy, it just feels
totally understand.
It just feels like the tire is continuing to lose air, and you just wonder if it's going to be completely out of air by 3 o'clock on Sunday. Just hope that's not the case. But just sooner.
I'll be rooting hard for you, Sean.
Well, our Steelers.
I admire you taking your team, no matter what.
Well, our Steelers expert, Neil Coulong, he is, to see what this team has gone through, not only the past month but the entire season with injuries and other things, and to see them right now still sitting at the number 6 seed in the playoffs in the AFC is just startling. But it just makes you wonder how much longer it's going to last.
So. Their defense has been
phenomenal. The guy's a good coach. He keeps his team together. I like him.
You're right, Steve. Other side of the ball, Steve, it's been great. I mean, it's just a completely different looking defense since Minkah Fitzpatrick has gotten there. Devin Bush, he just looks more and more comfortable out there. The more, down after down, he's starting to, settle into that role. And then you got the bookends with T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree finally playing together. And it's the Bud Dupree that we've waited 3-plus years to see. So.
You didn't think religion would pay off.
You got to have faith. You got to. You got to have hope. You got to have faith. This is an interesting stretch of games for Baltimore. I mean, they've taken on the Patriots. Next up here is San Francisco. This is definitely the tough stretch for the Ravens. But, boy, they have been really looking impressive. And they laid a can on
everybody.
Laid a whooping on the Rams on Monday night.
Oh, yeah. That Goff is being really exposed.
Well, it's amazing. He gets the money, and now look what he's doing.
Well, look at the Rams. My God, they have absolutely traded away all of their draft picks. If they don't win, they're going to lose their fan base big time because they have nothing to build on, nothing at all. How many draft picks have they traded away? Number one picks? A lot.
Yeah, they have. And Goff, actually, before the contract, was starting midseason last season, I think he has more turnovers than touchdown passes.
And to bring in Jalen Ramsey, they lost even more draft picks, Kevin.
They lost two number one picks to bring him in.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they've done. And now they don't have a running game, and Goff can't hit or receive. He's very one-dimensional. They figured out how to shut Goff down, and that's what people are talking about Jackson for Baltimore. Until somebody figures out what to do to stop him, I'm picking Baltimore.
Yep, I also have Baltimore.
And I love the Niners. The Niners are great. I think we might be looking at the Super Bowl.
Great game. I'll go with Baltimore, though. I'll keep riding that as well as the Niners have been playing. The game's at Baltimore, I think, right?
That is correct, yep.
Yeah.
Another factor, too. Yeah, they're just a well-oiled machine right now. And another primetime matchup this weekend. You got the Patriots at the Houston Texans, the Fighting Bill O'Briens.
Patriots.
Yep. Me too, Patriots.
I'm taking Houston.
Whoa.
Yep.
Okay.
Specific reason, except the Patriots offense is not producing a thing.
Well, have a great weekend. I'm back with you in 90 minutes from the Barclays Center as Penn State takes on Syracuse. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.